You are listening to WARN Radio. Don't forget to check out our websites at warn-usa.com and danaglennsmith.com.
Greetings. Welcome to WARN Radio Advocacy and Gospel News with the Watchman and Dana Smith and me. I'm Tower. We have a great lineup for you tonight, so I'm glad you joined us. Today is March 20th, 2019. We have some recent posts by the Watchman. You can read those by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. Discern signs amid the times. The signs are evident, allowing us to discern the times in which we live. When dealing with signs, wonders, and prophecy, and just plain good sage teaching from the apostles, one must pay attention. Also, Jesus Christ, blessed are you who have believed, yet not seen. Jesus Christ, believers and being blessed. And this was from the other day when the watchman was outside and enjoying the day. The sun was bright, beautiful day, and people were enjoying the peaceful atmosphere. Couples walking the path with their babies in strollers. And some were walking their dogs and the kids were enjoying it as well. There is no doubt in America, life has been good. In this country, there is little to none of the persecution against Christians like there is in other nations. So by going to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com, you can read the latest articles by The Watchman and also listen to the shows. You can listen or watch the show from the front page of warn-usa.com blog. And you can hear or listen. You can listen to the shows from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues, from our Spreaker embed, and links to all the places to listen from, like iHeart, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many others. You can follow WARN Radio on Instagram, also on Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. And tonight on our show, we feature advocacy, faith, and the gospel news. India, 57% jump persecution of Christians. Sinking without a shepherd. Fulani militants kill over 20 in Nigeria. Terrorism charges filed against New Mexico jihadi? Pakistani Christian woman coerced into conversion. So stay tuned for more. Those stories and more as time allows. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm all right. What's going on tonight?
Well, tonight, of course, our advocacy prophecy news, and on the video, you will see kind of a prison cell. And that is a reminder of all of the Christians that are imprisoned for their faith around the world. And so we will get into the main portion of this. Iran inches closer to its goal. And, of course, this is nothing new. If you don't or never heard that Iran wants to wipe Israel off the map, you apparently are not paying any attention.
Yeah, that's right.
Iranian leaders believe, and this is an article according to Gatestone Institute, that they are inching closer to fulfilling a religious prophecy. They also see they're gaining strategic and geopolitical victories. And of course, we've talked about this because of what happened in Syria and Iraq. You know, what happened now is that, of course, the Shia are into Iraq. Of course, Saddam Hussein, when he was there, him and Iran didn't get along, and they had, I think it was a 10-year war. A lot of people got killed in that war. But now, since, you know, ISIS went into Iraq now, we have Iran that has a presence in Iraq, Syria. They're also in Yemen and Lebanon, and they support the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. And we've been warning about all of those, so this is nothing new. But see, it's coming full circle. And Hossein Salami, who is the deputy commander of their Revolutionary Guard over there in Iran, he said, "Our strategy is to erase Israel from the global political map. And it seems that considering the evil that Israel is doing, it's bringing itself closer to that." And the supreme leader, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, he posted a Twitter tirade against Israel. It said that the Zionist regime will perish in the not-so-far future. And, of course, this is exactly what we've been warning about for years and years. And I was on the website over at Jerry Golden yesterday looking at some stuff. And, of course, he mentions all the stuff that they live daily with, the rockets coming out of Gaza all the time. And they fly right over his house and his head where he lives, and it gets blown up. And he's even had pieces of the rocket rain down on part of his property.
That's scary.
It is scary. And, of course, he talked about this, and we talked about it quite a while ago, where a lot of the Israeli commanders and the people that are watching this are saying that the next war that Israel gets in will really be one of the worst they've ever had, and that there will be a lot of people killed. And one of the reasons that you say that, and this goes clear back to the time of Saddam Hussein and the fact that he had weapons of mass destruction or rockets. They never found those, and there was a strong rumor that he had sent the stuff down into Lebanon with Hezbollah. And it's kind of interesting now because Hezbollah is set up now in Lebanon, right opposite of where Israel is, and they've got all kinds of rockets. So the next major battle, Syria will be involved, and you're going to find a lot of others, not Syria, but Iran will be involved. But they've also got a lot of presence in all the other countries right around Israel. Now, in addition to that, and of course, Jerry Golden mentioned also that that there's a presence of Chinese subs and Soviet subs that regularly patrol the U.S. coast. Now, that's true. We've actually reported on that years ago. It was that
way.
Yeah,
I remember.
And matter of fact, there was even a prophecy of that by a guy back, I can't remember the exact date, and I can't remember his name, but he was up in Canada when he had it. And he's a Christian, a pastor that was preaching, and he happened to be up in Canada, and he got this vision. And he's had a number of visions, but at any rate, he did see rockets coming out of the sea and hitting America. And I've been saying, aside from all that, that if something happens to Israel, they will attack America. You know, something will go on. And the reason they'll do that is to keep America out of the battle.
Is that prophecy or that vision from a long time ago?
Well, there's quite a few of them, but this isn't some of the original ones. No, this is one that...
I was just thinking of that. A.A. Allen?
Yeah, A.A. Allen. He had a vision, too.
Yeah.
And so, at any rate, you know, and it might even have been him. I can't remember because
there were
several of them.
Mm-hmm.
I had a list of all the visions at one time. I don't really keep track of all that. And in another upfront news, and the reason I bring this up, this is Steve, a kid by the name of Steven. I mean, he's not a kid. He's a 42-year-old mentally disabled Christian. Now, we reported on another mentally slow person that was actually accused of blasphemy.
In Pakistan. I think his name was, I don't know about the first name, but I'm sure I'm not pronouncing it right. Yarkab Bashir, is it? Bashir is his last name.
And I'm not sure if I know exactly what the final verdict with him. I think they put him away.
I haven't heard anything.
So at any rate, here's another one. You know, and these guys don't give mentally disabled people, if they're a Christian, a break.
Yeah, no compassion.
No. It was in the district, it was in Pakistan, of course, the Punjab province. The victim's nephew and an eyewitness informed International Christian Concern that he has been mentally disabled since birth. And most of the neighborhood knows his mental status, and local children will tease and beat him. He was accused of derogatory remarks against the Prophet Muhammad by a local Muslim. Stephen was debating with his brother-in-law over fasting and praying during Lent. However, because of his mental state, he became exasperated and began shouting loudly, attracting attention from the neighbors. This one particular guy, Hafez Moodsar, reached his house. He began beating Stephen unprovoked. And, of course, it goes south from there. The mob began beating him and other family members for the alleged crime of blasphemy, which, you know, there's no way that this would have happened. But at any rate, here's another kid that... got in trouble for his faith. Got in trouble because he's a Christian. He lives in Pakistan. Time and time and time again, we've reported on it. And if you think, you know, that in an Islamic society, that you are free in any way, shape, or form, you're not. You're free to die. You're free to be picked on. You're free to be thrown in jail. But you're not free.
That's right.
So, with that, we're moving on. There's a thing, too, that I wanted to bring up, and this is Barnabas Aid, Operation Safe Haven. We actually, years ago, I can't remember, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, that Rescue Christians and Waleed Shubat was involved, Rescue Christians, and of course there was another group, and what happened was they ended up splitting up. Now, I'm not sure what the full thing of it is now, because you don't hear much from them, because Waleed lost his website because the main backer and some of them, I don't know, there was some kind of a problem, but their one goal was to get Christians and rescue them totally out of the problem and get them somewhere else. And you know, the quote goes like this: a 59-year-old Christian woman in 2014 received a phone call, the voice said, you have three options: convert to Islam, get your properties back, leave the Islamic State for good, and your properties will be owned by the Islamic State or be killed. Now, this was in the plains of Nineveh, which we were covering this at the time. there was a lot of slaughtering going on even before they reached the plains of Nineveh. And, of course, Mount Sinjar, when they got there, the Yazidi had been involved, and there was a tremendous genocide. So this was absolute murder back then. And, of course, for her, to deny Christ, of course, is unthinkable. And the family fled into Kurdistan, and they escaped unharmed amidst the gunshots and falling mortars, and they were part of a human tide of 200,000 Iraqi Christians who fled before the advancing troops and sought refuge. And a lot of them did. You know, they went everywhere to get out of the way. Because when you look at how many Christians were in Iraq at the time and how many churches there was, well, now they've lost 85% of the Christians and the churches.
That's horrible.
It is. It's terrible. And her son, Michael, also got a phone call from ISIS, who by this time had occupied their family home. Now, I don't know how they got all these phones, but, you know, who knows how ISIS got their phones. And why would you answer the phone, you know?
Yeah.
Because this is trying to provide terror because they can't get to them. And, of course, are you a Muslim or a Christian? And the guy said, the kid said, I am honored to be a Christian. He was thinking, no doubt, of how Christians are despised as second-class people by Islamic extremists. A furious response came down the phone. You are a Christian, so all your electronic equipment now belongs to the Prince of Islam, to Emir, Prince of Islamic State. I am honored to be a Christian, he said. Take what you want. But one thing that the whole thing that this story points to, 3 years ago, with the help of Barnabas Aid, this family applied for a visa to go to Australia. It was finally granted earlier this month, and that's why the story. There was one hurdle that remained. The family was in Turkey and had all their property stolen, and they cannot afford the one-way ticket for the airfares to get to Australia. So this is where Operation Safe Haven, they will buy the plane tickets for them to get them to Australia. Now, they've done this for quite a few people, and of course, this is one of the things that need to be done.
No.
Is to get these people out of harm's way. But like we have talked before, a lot of these Christians don't necessarily want to live in other countries. Matter of fact, I can remember one quote where he says, we do not want to live in the United States. We do not want to live in Europe. We want to live back in Syria. That's our homeland. That's where we go back generations, actually centuries.
Well, you can certainly understand that.
Yeah, you can, you know. And we all think that, you know, right now we have a lot of people coming up here through South America and into America. But there are people that don't want to do that. There are people, yes, they want to be safe, but they really want to live back in their homeland. But it's really hard to do right now, even now after it's done. Now, of course, Islamic State still has some property and land within the area of Syria and Iraq. And in those areas, they are still brutal. But if they can get totally wiped out, it'd be different. Now, of course, remember, Islamic State is Sunni. And the triangle, the Sunni triangle in Iraq, is just what that is, Sunni. And many of the Sunnis, in fact, fought for Islamic State. And when Islamic State lost, they switched uniforms and became Iraqi citizens again. So, you know, the thing of it is that a lot of these Christians who used to get along with these Sunni Muslims found themselves, facing down the barrel of a neighbor who is now Islamic State.
Oh. Dear God in heaven.
Yeah, and today, you know, yeah, they're doing better, but it's not solved. The problem isn't solved. The problem is not solved around the world. The problem is getting worse. It continues to get worse. And, of course, as we talk about prophecy and the perilousness of the days, it's going to get worse. But we want to get it solved. We want to stop it. And, you know, there has been expected to be a huge Christian-Islamic war. Now, what we have had is kind of a slugfest in jihadism, and it's been a one-way in a lot of the Middle East, where Islamic jihadists have been slaughtering Christians by the bucket load. And if they're not slaughtering, then you have the government, like Pakistan, and also the government of China, which is not atheist, but they're still cracking down on Christians. We see it all over the place. So this is the way it is today. And many Christians, especially in China, they're behind prison bars. Wang Yi is one of the head of one of the largest churches there. And a lot of his people are behind bars. The children were arrested. Everybody is getting re-educated. So welcome to China.
Yeah. Red China. That's what I always knew it as.
Well, you know, that's what it is. You know, and my dad used to tell me that when he was alive. You know, we would get to talking about prophecy and about the way America was cracking down on, you know, America was getting close to China, and everybody bought Chinese goods and made them rich, but they're atheists, they're communists. And then if we get on over to India, there's a 57% jump in the persecution of Christians there. I've seen a figure a little higher than that, but the bottom line...
That's horrible.
Yeah. The bottom line of it is, with these Hindus, there's actually Muslims over there, there's Christians over there, there's Hindus, mainly Hindu. I always thought for years and years growing up and everything, it was a fairly friendly nation when it comes to Americans and things. And then we started covering this years and years and years ago and found out just how many Christians who are ministering there are faring, and how people are getting killed over there for their faith. This was years ago. This is a long time ago. But at any rate, the Evangelical Fellowship of India, their Religious Liberty Commission, they have documented 77 incidents of hate and targeted violence in January and February. That's of this year. Now, of course, we're in March now, but it's up from 49 cases during the same period last time. So beginning this year, it is going up. And, of course, you know, these things going on has just been ongoing there. 16 were in the Tamil state, Nadu, and 12 in Uttar Pradesh, and, you know, scattered around a little bit. In the first 2 months, followed documenting 50 cases during the same period the previous year. You know, India has been notorious for this, and of course, when the BJP party came in, that is the Hindu political party that's ruling now, many of the Christian leaders in India came out and said there's going to be persecution, because they knew these people. They knew exactly what they would do, and we saw an influx of persecution during all the holidays that they celebrate over there, which is Easter and Christmas and stuff. And there's special efforts by a number of these liberals, Muslims, to attack the Christians during those times. And of course, now... you know, they also have Maoists over there, which I didn't know, really. And of course, who did they kill? They killed Christians.
Yeah.
So, you know, you know, this particular story was run on Morningstar News, and Morningstar is a magazine, a reporting agency that covers Christian news, mainly Christian persecution overseas. When you think about, there are a lot of reporting agencies. The problem of it is many people don't hear about them, don't hear about them much at all. So be sure to understand that it is imperative for you to pray for your brethren in Christ that are in bonds overseas, and also to do what you can to support those ministries that are working to get the message out and to help those overseas, the believers. And with that, do you have something there, Tower?
Yes, this is a parable by Pastor Paul, who's with Bibles for the Mideast. It's Sinking Without a Shepherd. A sheep wandered away from the fold one day, and before she knew it, ended up alone in the jungle. Suddenly she noticed a wolf racing towards her. She turned and fled, fearing that at any moment the wolf would sink its claws into her. The sheep desperately looked for a way to escape, and at last spied a shallow pond. Barely evading the wolf's reach, she jumped into the pond, and in the heat of the chase, the wolf blindly leaped in after her. To the surprise of them both, the pond was extremely shallow, yet filled with deep recesses of mud. After toppling over each other, the sheep and the wolf found themselves a short distance apart, stuck in the mud up to their necks. Both had their heads free, but were unable to get themselves, no matter how much they withered, writhed. The wolf repeatedly snarled at the sheep and roared, "I am going to enjoy the crunching of your bones between my teeth." He thrashed about in fury, but soon became fretful as he found no prospect of escape. The sheep thoughtfully laughed as the wolf struggled to free himself and asked him, "Do you have a master?" The wolf disdainfully replied, "I am strong and my own master. Why do you ask if I have a master? You may be strong and all in the jungle, but here all your power has failed to save your life," the sheep replied. "And what about you?" the wolf retorted. "You are going to die here in the mud too," the sheep smiled mildly, replying. "No, I am not. Even if I can't free myself from this mud," snapped the wolf, "then how can you, an ordinary sheep?" "I cannot free myself from this mud, but my master can," the sheep gently replied. "When he doesn't find me with the fold as dust settles in, he'll come looking for me. Once he finds me, he'll raise me up out of the mud, hold me safe on his shoulders, and take me home." The wolf fell silent, glaring coldly at the sheep. Sure enough, as the sky began to darken, the sheep's master arrived. He immediately recognized the plight she was in and lifted her to safety, and they walked home. The wolf sadly looked at them and sank down into the muddy waters, his pride going under as well. Why was his own power no longer enough? Where was his master? Someone to save him? Yeah, that's a good parable.
It is a good parable, and you can see exactly the point that he's making,
yeah.
Because a lot of Christians are getting slaughtered. But Pastor Paul is head of a ministry, one in a ministry that is made up of former Muslims, that we have reported quite a few miracles associated, real dynamic miracles, like out of the book of Acts. And they deal with Muslims and bring them the gospel, and they work in some of the most dangerous places on earth. And this is a good story, a very good pertinent parable.
Yes, it is.
And so be sure to remember that. And remember Bibles for the Mideast and Pastor Paul, and there's a lot of them. And a lot of the names are changed in a lot of these that we give you. They're not the true names. The reason for that is so that they can stay safe. You know, the Islam and the Islamic radicals are very, very aware of online and everything else, so you got to be very, very careful. And we do have another story, and this, of course, goes back to another area, doesn't it, Tower, that we've had tremendous problems over. And Tower was telling me about an update, and there's updates coming all the time. This has to do with Nigeria, and in Nigeria, you used to have one main problem, which was Boko Haram. And then when ISIS, 2014, 2015, and this was during the time of Jonathan Goodluck Johnson, which was a Christian head of the country, he didn't get reelected. A Muslim beat him. And the same Muslim got reelected not too long ago. His name's Buhari. And in all this time, Buhari has never done anything to try to stop the other threat.
And since he's been reelected, I think the persecution against the Christians is ramped up.
Well, you know, they pointed out that when he was running, the Muslim extremists, who are Fulani, actually, I didn't know this at the time. I didn't realize Buhari was a Fulani himself.
I didn't either. I just found that out.
Maybe I read about it and forgot it. But Islamic State was so successful that Boko Haram pledged allegiance to them and to also create a caliphate in Nigeria. And at the same time, it was probably about a year after that. And, of course, about that time, ISIS wasn't doing very good. And then they lost almost all their territory. That actually, the Fulani and the stuff that came down said that Boko Haram had taught the Fulani, got them to where they would attack the Christians. And, of course, the Fulani were herdsmen, and there's a lot of other little details in here because there are other issues with legality, the loss of land and places for them to put their herds. And, of course, so there could be a number of reasons why they're doing it, but they've been killing a lot of Christian farmers over there and taking their lands. And, of course...
so wicked.
Yeah.
They need to be stopped.
They do need to be stopped. Now, in this one that we have coming out on the 4th, which was, a couple of weeks ago or so, a little more than that, they attacked a number of villages and there was 20 people killed. But there's been a lot of people killed. We can't keep track of it all because every time you get a report, there's more people getting killed. And these are all Christians getting killed. What was your report that you were just telling me about?
Well, it was about two Islamic groups target Nigerian Christians. 300 killed while 72 supernaturally saved from firing squad. And that was, I'm not sure when that was happened, just recently. And four leaders of the Christians were told to renounce their faith in Jesus and revert to Islam. And they refused, so they executed them in front of their families. Then the wives of the four men were told to renounce their faith or their children would be executed. That's when something remarkable happened. The children in the group said the Lord Jesus appeared to them that night and told them all would be well. They were told not to fear, that he would protect them, and that they should not renounce him, but stay strong, knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the next morning, the terrorists lined the children against a wall and told the mothers they They could save their kids if they would renounce Jesus Christ and return to Islam. The mothers refused, and as the soldiers prepared to fire, something happened. They dropped their rifles and started to grab at their heads, screaming and shouting, "Snakes! Snakes!" And some of the soldiers ran off, and others dropped dead where they stood. And after one soldier had dropped his weapon in fear, one captive attempted to pick up the rifle in order to fire at the fleeing terrorists. He stopped when a four-year-old child told him about angels that were protecting him. "You don't need to do that. Can you not see the men in white fighting for us?" And the lives of all 72 Christians were spared, and they were relocated to a safer region of Nigeria. And that's a story from the Barnabas Aid. That's pretty exciting.
It is.
Thank God. I'm glad.
Now,
and that was the Fulani militia, or the Fulani herdsmen, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah, the Fulani
terrorists.
The Fulani terrorists, the herdsmen. They're the ones that's been doing this. And, you know, the thing of it is that, you know, these kind of miracles, we're all getting them. They're coming. And
bless God. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Now, yeah, there's a lot of people getting killed, but they're not dead. They're with him, you see. This is the overcoming. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. That's saying, we will not recant. We're going to serve the Lord. And they loved not their lives unto the death. That is Revelation 12:11. That is one of the marching orders of the end time church. But what I've said time and time again for years is that God, we would see miracles and signs and wonders. And we have seen with this increase of persecution, we have been reporting more signs and wonders.
That's right.
Than at any other time. And we've been watching this for years, years, years. And all of this stuff is coming out. And so, what about America? Well, American Christians aren't standing in the line getting murdered right and left. Most of the church in our neck of the woods in the West needs to be awoken from the sleep. And it's just the way our society is. You know, the whole of society. We're divided against ourselves, and we're our own worst enemies. The enemy is just waiting. One of these days, it's going to happen, unfortunately.
Yeah, and when I wonder why those people have to go through all that, there's a scripture about, through much persecution, you shall enter the kingdom of heaven, or something like that. You can probably correct me on that.
Yeah, that was the Apostle Paul in Acts. He said, through much tribulation do we enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that's the opposite of a theology that you will find and have found. I mean, in my whole of my life and going to church, you know, of course, I was raised as a kid along with grandma and grandpa and mom and dad in the Methodist church. And the Lord got me out of the church in order to get me saved. And then I got back into the Assemblies of God and became a pastor. We went to school and graduated. And of course, the rest is history. But the bottom line of it is that, you know, America is asleep.
That's right.
And there are, now Barnabas Aid, we've talked a lot about Barnabas Aid. Now the one that started out here was International Christian Concern. There is a lot of them that are working. Some of them are working on the ground. CBN has people on the ground in a lot of places. Samaritan's Purse have people on the ground all over the place, including America. So they're the major ministries, like Samaritan's Purse. I've heard a lot of people that are ignorant that Frank Lyon Graham, because they don't like him preaching all the time and doing all this. These are usually millennials or some of the others that, their religion is tech and, who knows? It's not the Lord. And,
right.
And so in America, we have this skeptic hatred of anything Christian at times, and it's getting worse. And in America, we have a right to be godless. We have a right to flaunt our sins. It's my right to be this weird. And I mean weird.
And we've seen some weirdos.
Yeah, we have. And we've met others who are misguided. And, we know them. They're friends of ours. We like them. Think a lot of them. We have a lot of young kids that we talk to around here. And my heart goes out to them.
Yeah, me too.
Because, it's the generations ahead of them that mistaught them. And you can raise a child and teach him a lie, and when he grows up, he'll think it's the truth. That's exactly what Arafat did when he got the land over there. Instead of making peace and spending money for peace, he taught all the kids to hate Israel, blood hatred. And every generation did that. And so today you've got a generation and generation and generation of people that are just lividly hate Israel. You even got Christian churches in Gaza, and they hate Israel.
Yeah, that's terrible.
So
that kind of hatred.
Well, some of the stuff from some of these Christian leaders in Gaza, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel to listen to these guys. These guys are about as screwy as a goose. I mean, I don't want to defame a good goose. We got geese out here all over, and they got more sense than what we have in that I listen to a lot of times when I hear them. And I'm talking some of these leaders in the Christian church around the world. Dear God in heaven, give us strength.
Oh, I know.
Now, the Clarion Project, you should know them. The Clarion Project is an organization that covers a lot of things. But they do a lot of work on what is happening in America and jihadism and a lot of these others. And in this particular one, we're talking about New Mexico jihadi cultists. They had reported on this. In previous charges filed against these, there was four of them, five of them. The charges include a conspiracy relating to possession of firearms, ammunition by an alien illegally and unlawfully in the United States. But there's also have new charges of terror, kidnapping, and firearm offenses. And they were filed by federal authorities against New Mexico jihadi cultists. Now, you might have remembered them because they busted them because of some of the children. They had been teaching the kids to kill. And exactly what a lot of these jihadists, that's what they do in the Gaza Strip. They teach the kids to go out and kill Jews and others. And, in the Saddam Hussein war that I told you about before, actually one of the first of the Khomeinis that was there that fought Saddam Hussein told all the children in Iran to go out and go before the troops of Iran, and they'll be instantly in paradise. And so they got blown up because there was a lot of landmines. And so this is a regular tool that Islam uses, using children. And this is also a tool that we found during World War II. We found it during Vietnam, where a lot of the children, a mother would even bring her baby and blow her baby up and herself just to kill American soldiers.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah, there was all kinds of junk going on over there. And some of the evidence, initial courtroom, they counted international travel to countries of interest, including Saudi Arabia and Morocco, a manual describing the stages of a terrorist attack, so that was at the compound, They train children on the compound to carry out armed jihadi attacks and die as martyrs for Islam, which, again, is typical Islamic.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is... the teenage children themselves admitted that they were given military training to carry out jihadi school shootings. And they found the body of one of the children, a three-year-old disabled, who was
found
on the property. Now, you and I, it's been how many years ago that we reported on that? These guys have been around for a while.
Oh, I think it's been a couple years.
Yeah, because we reported on the kids they had broke into this thing and tried to stop them from doing it. Well, see, all these charges is the result of what they'd found at the compound. So, you know, and these are just the ones you find. Now, there are, I think it was Clarion Project that had the film that came out and showed how many different compounds like that we have in America that are Islamic and jihadist. There's quite a few of them. I was thinking there's in the 20s how many there is. I first came across it probably 20 years ago in some reports I did from the East Coast. And some of the Muslim places where these Muslims were training, and they're still doing it today. They're training for a war between Christians and Muslims. That's what they're doing.
I hate to have it here, I'll tell you.
Oh, I know. So do I. But,
I hate it anywhere, actually.
I do, too. But, you know... Over the years of doing this, you know, I have one thing to ask Christians in America. Do you really think that you're that much better than the Christians in these other countries? Do you think they deserve this? Do you think that they deserve to have their children killed? And these Muslims will even kidnap the young girls and rape them and force them to marry them. They'll do the same thing to the wives. Rape the wives, you know, to steal them. You know, there was one, I think we covered it. When did we cover it?
I don't know. Time gets away from me.
I think it was last week.
Was it?
Yeah, a guy lost his wife, and she had been kidnapped by this jihadi and raped. And we covered it in Egypt as well, because most of these Christians couldn't do anything. And a lot of times these women disappear and the guys don't even know where they're at.
Well, we got another story.
Yeah.
Out of Pakistan about the same thing.
Well, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Well, this happened earlier in the month. Saima, a 35-year-old Pakistani Christian mother of three, was abducted by a Muslim man.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, and allegedly forced to convert to Islam. And this story comes to us from International Christian Concern. Naveed, the husband of Saima, went to the authorities and told them his wife had been abducted at night from their home by a man named Mohammed Khalid Sati. And after returning home from the night shift, that's when Naveed found his wife missing. And he made a complaint to the local police, but they weren't going to do anything. And then he threatened himself to harm himself. So then they lodged the first information report. And after 10 heart-wrenching days of searching, the accused was arrested and the police recovered Saima. And however, contrary to Naveed's faith of a hopeful reunion with his wife, the police notified him that she had converted to Islam and had married the accused. But the conversion and the marriage certificates are fake. They do not contain a cleric's signature. And, of course, Naveed has appealed to Pakistani Prime Minister and Pakistan's Chief Justice to help him get justice for his family. I have challenged the forced conversion and the forced marriage of my wife in a magistrate's court. And the magistrate court has supposedly placed March 19th as the date of hearing. So that was yesterday. I don't know. We haven't gotten an update.
Well, I'll tell you what these guys do. They tell the woman that you marry us and do what I tell you or we'll kill your family.
Yeah, exactly.
They do that when they take the daughter, too. This comes out of stories we've done before and testimony coming out of Egypt when it happens.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that there is makes you want to go get a gun and shoot him.
Oh, I know.
I'm going to rescue my wife. If you get in the way, I'm going to shoot you.
Yeah.
And if you know, I'll shoot you deader than a doornail.
Yeah, and it says the Pakistani authorities should place measures to stop the increasing incidence of forced conversion of young Christian women. And the government of Pakistan must give protection to Saima so that she could speak the truth without fear of facing abuse by the accused.
Absolutely.
Oh, I hope so.
Absolutely. And, of course, this is what these guys do. I mean, and the women of Islam, you know, we did a testimony. I was telling you about that one young one that had that one. She wasn't young, and she had her head covering on. And she defended the practice of Muslim men.
Yeah, I remember you talked about her last week.
Yeah, doing that to the women and the girls who do not become believers.
Right.
And to that I say, baloney.
Exactly.
That's damnable.
It's wicked, absolutely wicked.
There is no God on earth that would do that. Not a true and living God, not the true merciful God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Amen.
Yeah. Our God is that shepherd that leaves the 99 and go out and find the one lost one, and he found him in that place, that swamp where the sheep was and the wolf, and he got the sheep out because he knew the wolf was a devourer.
Right.
So at any rate, you know, this comes out of Egypt. This comes out of International Christian Concern. We've had a lot of stories out of Egypt over the years. And this happens to do with a young woman by the name of Maria. And, of course, the incident. She says, I was scared for my sons. You can feel that all the people around you want to kill you or throw you out of the village. And that's the problem you have in these areas. And it was a time mm-hmm. which we felt we are weakened and broken. Yeah, her husband, Abed, he worked in the church, and he was a baker of communion bread. And of course, their needs were met. Life is simple. But Abed was arrested for insulting Islam over a deleted Facebook post. And, of course, this is a bunch of nonsense.
Exactly.
You know, but this isn't the only people that do it. Iran does it, too. Matter of fact, they'll put them to death over in Iran if they find it on social media. And so, despite his arrest, a mob formed to punish all the village Christians, and that's another thing that they normally do.
Uh-huh.
Give them a reason to pillage and just destroy everything. And, of course, time and time again, you know, Egypt, it happens in Pakistan, we see it. Now, I'll tell you where it don't happen. That is in Iran. It don't happen in Iran because Christianity hasn't even been allowed to flourish. Matter of fact, in Iran, there is a pushback against the Ayatollah and the Republican, the Republican Guard over there. The younger generation don't like what, this religious caliphate of Khomeini. But at any rate, back to this one, her husband's set in prison for 5 months. And this, again, this is normal. Sia Bibi. She's still in prison, and she's been released twice. She's been given the go-ahead twice by the highest court in the country in Pakistan, and she's still in house arrest, pretty much, can't leave. It's just absolutely unbelievable that these people don't know what law is. And here in Egypt, these people get away with this baloney. And of course, trying to find a Christian lawyer ain't going to work, especially in her case. That's absolutely ridiculous. Because number one, the Christian lawyer himself can be thrown in jail as well. Especially if that one is accused of insulting the Prophet Muhammad. So if you go defend him, that they'll accuse you of insulting the Prophet Muhammad. And we've covered this time and time again. They use this to persecute them, persecute Christians, this law. And of course, Abed was sentenced in the long run. And his appeal, of course, didn't go through. So he's sitting in prison. And he's going to be right there for 3 years for something more than likely he didn't do. So what this is, this thing is about, kind of a picture of life in a place where Muslims rule the roost. And of course, this woman now is by herself with her children in a village that everybody's hostile to them.
Yeah.
And of course, it's just gut-wrenching when you really see about it. And so, be sure to follow us on Instagram. You can find us, Warn Radio. We're on Instagram. We're no longer on Facebook. I got rid of that. Facebook is a no-brainer for us. We just don't go there. It's about worthless. It's not what we're looking for at all. A lot of people love Facebook. I don't. It's full of gossip and knuckleheads. So
yeah.
They're not all knuckleheads, but boy, they've got their share of them. And you can find us on LinkedIn. It's more of the business. Now, both of those are owned by Facebook, but they are a lot better than Facebook. They've got some quality to them. LinkedIn has a whole different atmosphere about it than what you find in almost any other social thing. And you can find us, you can follow us on any of our three Twitter accounts, but what you need to do is go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com. I have a lot of in-depth articles that are very pertinent to the end times, and check them out. Also, we do have all the audios there, and you can find us on many, many other avenues on our Warn Radio Network. And you can find a lot of the connections to that on the front of our warn-usa.com website. So, let's see. What else do we got? We got, do you got anything else you want to?
No, we got another story if you want to read it.
No, we don't have time.
Oh, okay.
We can do that next week.
Okay.
So we got, folks, and we do this because this is something dear to our heart. It's also part of our calling of things that we have to do. We do three shows a week, and one of them is this advocacy program. And as I said earlier, this video shows me behind bars, and this is to let you know that there are Christians languishing in prisons around the world. They're languishing in China, in North Korea. It's not a prison cell, it's a cage, a little small one that they have. It's just a nightmare in North Korea. And of course, in Iran, Pakistan, India, a lot of places, Yemen, the Sudan, dear God in heaven.
Turkey's,
yeah,
Egypt.
Turkey. Yeah, it just, they're languishing. Pray for the brethren. do what you can in prayers and financially to connect with people that directly try to help those on the ground. So, again, we're going to get out of here. Thanks for listening and watching.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. We love you. We pray for you. God bless you. Good night, everybody.